Well, good day, friends. What a joy it is to be together again here on Radio Pulpit, your companion in the search for meaning. And you're tuned in to the program, The Ministry in Me. And I'm your host, Dr. Dion Foster. And I'm looking forward to the next 30 minutes with you as we look at ways in which you can bring your ministry to the fore in your ordinary life so that everything that you do may be used in order to glorify and bless God and bless those whom God loves. Because at the end of the day, that is what brings true fulfillment, true peace, and true blessing in life. It's finding ways to honor God with everything that you have and all that you do. And thank you for tuning in again today. It's always so wonderful to have contact with listeners, and I've had literally hundreds of emails over the last number of weeks as we've been taking our little journey through the churches in the book of Revelation. And just to say, you're welcome always to drop me a line, and you can do so by sending me an email at digitaldion@gmail.com. That's digitaldion. At gmail.com, digitaldion@gmail.com, and I'll respond to you as soon as I'm able to. And sometimes, folks, just drop me a line to share a prayer request or a word of encouragement, and sometimes they want to ask a question or ask for the show notes, but you're welcome always just to give me a call. And then also just to mention, as we go through the show, if at any stage you would like to phone someone up and just have someone to chat to or share a prayer with you, or if you'd like to share some testimony, you're welcome to do that by phoning the Radio Pulpit prayer line. And you can do that on the Pretoria dialing code 012, and the number to dial is 334-1200. So that's Pretoria 012, and the telephone number is 334-1200. Well, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, we've been journeying through some of the churches in the book of Revelation and looking at the way in which Jesus, as he was moving amongst the churches, the lampstands, gives them encouragement and sometimes rebuke to be more effective in their ministry in the world. And the last church that we looked at was that wonderful church that we read about in Revelations chapter 2, and we were reading about the church at Smyrna, one of the only surviving and existent faiths of Christianity in that part of the world. Well, today we're going to skip one or two churches, and we're going to turn to the church at Sardis, which we'll read about in Revelation chapter 3. And we're reading from verses 1 to 6. And I'll encourage you, if you get a time during the week, or if once you get home or at your office, you get a chance to read this passage for yourself. It's always good just to read through it once or twice to see there may be something there that God wants to say to you, which I haven't mentioned. And it's always good just to spend a little bit of time quietly reading through the scripture and reflecting. But let me read for you from Revelations chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Jesus says, "To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. Wake up, strengthen up what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will be like them that is dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and the angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Now, folks, I don't know about you, but when I think about that, I would love to be amongst those whose name is acknowledged by Jesus before his Father in the book of life, one of whom Jesus can give a good report. You know, I remember once interviewing a person who came to apply for a job, and they gave me this wonderfully, wonderfully glowing CV. And I looked through the CV, and I happened to know one or two of the references that the person had cited. Now, very often when we do job interviews, we don't follow those references. But I decided, because of this wonderful CV, just to phone one or two of the people to see whether, in fact, what they had said about themselves was true. You know, when I phoned the references, they warned me. They said, be very careful of this person because they say that they're one way, but they are actually very different. And this whole passage speaks about being true and being found true by Jesus so that he can be our reference before the Father. Now, let me ask you, if you look at your life today, if you look at how you spend most of the hours of your day, most of your creative thought, most of your insight, your influence, and your ability, do you think that Jesus would be able to give you a positive report in the presence of the Father? Or could it be that, in fact, Jesus would have to measure you up short? I know for my life that I'm not all that faithful in everything that I do. Sometimes I tend to think that ministry and honoring Jesus is only that which has to do with the church. You know, a minister once found a shoebox in the closet of his home. And when he opened it, he found the strange contents inside. Inside was an egg carton with 5 eggs. And next to the eggs, there was a stack of bills that totaled over 10,000 rand. Well, as soon as his wife walked through the door, he stopped her to ask if she knew anything about the odd combination. Yes, she said, after we got married, I decided that every time you preached a sermon that was a bad one, I would put an egg in that shoebox. The preacher thought with pride, wow, after all the years we've been married and only 5 eggs in the box, I must be doing quite well. But honey, he said, what about the 10,000 rand? Then she looked at him with love in her eyes and says, well, every time I got a dozen eggs, I sold them for a rand. Now, folks, sometimes having a higher estimation of ourselves than we should can be incredibly dangerous. And this particular church that we read about is a church that struggled from that. It was not a church that was realistic about who it was and what it was doing. And so because of that, Jesus warns them that death is at their door. Now, just to bring it home again, think about your own life. How realistic are you about the way in which you live your relationships, in which you honor God with everything that you are and have and do? I think for most of us, we could do with a little more realism, a little more judgment, in a sense, to be able to say, let me judge my actions and let me judge my thoughts and my speech and see if they truly are worthy of Jesus giving a good report. Now, Sardis was a prominent city, and it was particularly famous because it had developed a reputation for very fine dyed wools and beautiful fabrics. Yet by the time we read this letter, it wasn't a prominent city anymore. In fact, the city and the church were trading on their past. They were riding on the last few waves of their reputation. It was no longer a prominent trading city, and in fact, the trade that had made them famous had fallen by the wayside. And we find that their current deeds are much less worthwhile than what their past was. They had a name, but their name had no substance to it. You know, I remember when I was a little boy going to my grandmother's house and seeing these beautiful apples and pears and grapes on her dining room table. But the sad thing was that they weren't real. They were wax fruit. They were artificial, almost like artificial flowers. They looked good, but they had no real flavor. Now, I don't know about you, but I tend to get caught up in that every now and then. I tend to want to give a good image to the world around me. But the question that I need to ask myself is that image of Jesus living in my life based on something worthwhile? Is my life a nourishment and a blessing to others? Or am I merely trading on a good name? Now, spiritually, we are told in this passage that Sardis was a church without fire. And after the fire was started, it was essential that they should keep it alive. And their church was busy dying out because they had let the fire die out. And so the question I want to ask you tonight is, what kind of a person are you? Are you a person of substance, a person of fire? Are you trading on a present reality of your goodness? Or are you trading on the past or the goodness of someone else? Would Jesus be able to give a good report of your life, of your moment-by-moment existence, of how you treat others and how you make the most of every opportunity to see that His will is established in your sphere of influence? Or would it be quite difficult for you to receive that good report? The good news is, of course, that it's never too late to start. And I want to say to you today, friends, this is not a matter of judgment. It's a matter of encouragement to say, let's take up our responsibility and our place in society. God deserves it, and the world that God loves deserves to receive the gift of who you are. So let's have a look at the Church of Sardis and see what we can learn for our own ministry and lives so that we can be more effective and more blessed in the kingdom of God. Now, the first thing that we know about the church at Sardis is that they were pleasing loads of people, but their reputation meant nothing because they weren't pleasing the Lord. Now, this is the first mistake that we read about Sardis, is that they were living simply for a reputation. They were focusing on the wrong thing. Did you notice that the only thing for which Jesus offers them any encouragement or commendation is the fact that they have a good reputation? And you read that in chapter 3, verse 1. They were together enough to be able to fool people into thinking that they had it all together. Yet the truth that we hear from Jesus is that He knows their deeds. Isn't that important? And that all they have is a reputation of being alive, but they're not sharing life itself. Now, I want to ask you today, when Christ looks at you, what does Jesus see? Is it impressive to see people who have the right deeds? They go to church, they pray, they give. But when Jesus looks at the church, when Jesus looks at your life and your ministry, what does He truly see? Does what is on the outside match what is truly on the inside? Listen to what God said about the Israelites in a much earlier time about the religion without love. We read this from Isaiah chapter 1, verses 14 to 16. He says, "Meetings for this and meetings for that, I hate them. You've worn me out. I'm sick of religion, 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 while you go on sinning. When you put on your next performance, prayer performance, I won't be looking at you. I'll be looking the other way. No matter how loud or how long or how often you pray, I simply won't be listening." So the question I want to ask you today is, who are you pleasing? Because the reality is, unless you are pleasing Jesus Christ, the likelihood is that you're no more than the living dead. And friends, this is not only about pleasing Jesus, it's about finding fulfillment and blessing in your life. Finding what it is that God carefully crafted and created you for. What is there that you need to change tonight in order to rekindle the flame of being worthy for Christ? What do you need to change in order to let the contents of your life match the label on the outside? Because I want to say to you, remember this. It's not only about a reputation. It's about honoring Jesus and loving Him and loving those that He loves. And in that you bring Him glory and you find fulfillment. The second problem that we find with the church at Sardis was not only were they trying to please loads of people, but they weren't pleasing the Lord, but they were alive, but only alive in the sense that they were the living dead. Now, this is the next thing that we learn about this church and about ministry that can relate to our lives. It's not possible to fool Jesus with our actions. But more importantly than our Christian actions, we need a spiritual life that is far more impressive than our deeds. We need, in a sense, to be born from the inside out. You know, I often tell a little illustration of this to illustrate to people what I mean. You know, when I was a little boy, like most little boys, 7, 8 years old, man, I hated having a bath. Gee, it was the most inconvenient thing in the world. And I would do anything to get out of a bath. I would say to my mom, "I swam in the pool today. Does that mean I had to bath?" Or, "I rode my bicycle in the rain. See, I'm clean." And my mom used to struggle to get me into the bath. But then one day, when I was about 12 or 13, she came walking past the bathroom door, and the door was closed, and there was steam billowing out from under the door, and she could smell all the soap and the aftershave and everything coming out, and she couldn't believe her eyes. There I was, scrubbing myself clean, coming out full of deodorant and aftershave. And as she looked at me with a big smile on her face, she said, "So, Dion, what's changed that all of a sudden you now love spending hours in the bathroom?" And with a beaming smile on my face, I said to her, "Mom, I've met a girl." Now, the reality is that sometimes when we try and change our lives from the outside in, it can be a very, very difficult process. It's almost like trying to become alive by being the living dead. But what we truly need is that kind of change of heart that changes us from the inside out. The kind of change that makes it easy for our hands and our lives to move. You know, when you truly passionately love someone or something, there is nothing too difficult, too great, too sacrificial to do for them. And this is one of the common mistakes that Christians fall into. We think that simply by doing things, we are going to be okay. However, the thing that we need to understand that Jesus speaks to the church at Sardis about is that we need to become truly alive from within. We need to cultivate a deep and sincere and lived and real spiritual life that keeps us connected to the God who gives life. You know, friends, I want to say to you, if you're listening today, that it's going to be impossible for you to find blessing and be a blessing unless you spend real quality time in Christ's presence. You know, I have friends, even colleagues in the ministry, who think that I'm naive and simple because I still have a quiet time. I take time every day just to be silent in God's presence, to read the scriptures and just say, "Lord, here I am, speak to me." I take time just to declare the praises and goodness of God, to sing of His love and His mercy and His faithfulness and His compassion, and to declare it as a truth in my life. And you know, the amazing thing is that as I grow closer to Christ, I find that I grow further from all of the things that rob me of life. My perspective on life changes. Even in difficult and hard times, I find that I am sustained. You know, I was just sharing with someone the other day that my wife Megan and I have one little thing that keeps us very humble. And that's our youngest son, Liam. You may have heard me speaking of him before on the radio show. You know, Liam was born very, very ill. He was born at 27 weeks, 3 months premature, and he was an absolutely tiny, tiny little boy, just under a kilogram at birth, and he was very, very sick. And you know, he's 3 years old today, and praise God that he survived and that he's doing so well. But of course, because he was born so early, he is left with one or two little health challenges. And I would ask you, please do pray for little Liam. And this last week has been a particularly challenging week for Megan and I. He's had a lung infection, and he's struggled with ear infections. And it's been so painful for him as a little child. And we've really prayed for him, and the doctors have been wonderful to care for him. But you know what the wonderful thing in that is? It's reminded us how desperately we need the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. You know, there's that wonderful, wonderful section in Lamentations chapter 3 where it says that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, and His mercies, they never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. You know, that word mercies is often translated as compassion. It's such a wonderful emotion. You know, the interesting thing about being alive from the inside out is that you have access to the compassion of God in difficult situations and times. Some of the older translations of the Bible, and you can read this in Psalm 103 as well, translated that word, which is sometimes translated as mercies or compassion, they translated it as pity. Because, of course, 100 years ago, pity meant something very different. But in modern contemporary English, pity is a word that is not helpful. You know, pity is a word that separates us from one another. When I was a little boy, I used to have to get a haircut at the end of the summer holidays before I went back to school. And my mom would give me a couple of rand and send me off to the hairdresser to get a haircut. And one day my older brother said, "Hey man, why don't we take that money and buy some sweets and I'll give you a haircut." Well, friends, I got the sweets, but let me tell you, I got one heck of a haircut that day. It was full of chunks and all chopped out. And as punishment, my mom sent me to school with that bad haircut. And that was the first time in my life where I experienced the emotion of pity. My friends looked at me and they said to me, "Man, we feel sorry for you, but boy, we are glad we are not you." And pity is an emotion that separates. But you know, compassion is so radically different. Compassion is an emotion that is stimulated by empathy. It says, because I understand your hardship and suffering, because I know what you are going through, because I can intimately relate to the struggle that you are experiencing, I want to be close to you. I want to draw near to you and support you and care for you. And you know, compassion is an emotion that you can only draw upon when you're close to someone. And so one of the problems that the church at Sardis had was that they were dying because they weren't close to God. They couldn't access God's true nature and compassion because they hadn't spent the time building a real relationship with God. Maybe I want to ask you today, if you're going through a hard and difficult time, how close is your relationship with God? How much time do you spend simply getting to know God and God's ways and drawing upon God's goodness and life? Now, the third thing that we had against this church at Sardis, or that we learn from this church at Sardis, is that it is never too late to wake up. You know, the first thing Jesus said is that they needed to be careful that they weren't just pleasing others, doing loads for others instead of pleasing the Lord. The second thing Jesus said is be careful that you don't just become alive like the living dead. Have a real living relationship that changes you from the inside out. But the third thing that Jesus gives, and this is a wonderful encouragement, is he says to the church at Sardis, it's time to wake up. That the flame can be rekindled and that you can go through it and reconnect with God and find true blessing and joy in your life and bring that blessing to others. So Jesus says that there are three things that we need to do in order to draw near to God in this way. The first thing that he says is don't become complacent. You know, Jesus expects us to be active about our relationship with him. It's like my relationship with my wife or my children. If I take it for granted, it begins to wither and die. I need to put in the time and the energy, create the opportunity to be creative about it and engage with it. And so the question I want to ask you is, as a Christian person, how complacent have you become about your relationship with God and with the people who God loves that he's placed around you, whether they're Christians or not? Have you become complacent about your workplace or the suburb in which you live? Have you become complacent about your marriage or how you are as a mother or a father? Have you become complacent about the opportunities that you have to show God's love and share it with others? Take some initiative today. Pray about becoming creative and passionate about changing the place where you live. The second thing that Jesus says is be careful that you don't become too comfortable. You know, comfort is something that can rob us of the opportunity to do great things. You know, I find it quite difficult to wake up in the mornings to cycle. I'm a bit of a cyclist, and I wake up in the mornings very often at 5 a.m. so that I can cycle and be ready before work. You know, it would be far more comfortable for me just to lay in my nice warm bed until 6 a.m. and hop up and get off to work. But you know, by just having that little bit of discomfort, I find that I'm healthier, I've got more energy, and I find that I go through the day better. And not only do I feel better, but I look better as well. You know, that kind of discomfort that we have, that kind of discipline is something that is necessary in our spiritual lives as well. Sometimes we need to stretch beyond what is just the ordinary, and we need to reach for something which is a little bit greater. Spend a little more time reading, a little more time praying, a little more time serving, and I can guarantee you that that disciplined discomfort is going to win great rewards for you and for the kingdom of God. It'll bring glory to God when you stretch yourself beyond what you think you are capable of doing. But the third thing that Jesus says, if we want to wake up and truly become alive, is not only must we fight against complacency, not only must we be willing to sacrifice and be uncomfortable, but we have to learn to be children. You know, we need to recognize that in order to truly honor God in Christ, we have to be childlike. We have to draw near to Jesus and recognize that we need His strength, His guidance, and His help in every situation so that we can become more effective and be used by Him to change the situations around us and even change our own lives. So friends, I want to encourage you today. When you look at your life, what kind of a life do you live? Remember that Jesus said that He would not be able to give a good account of the Christians in Sardis before His Father. I wonder, when God looks at your life and mine, would Jesus be able to give a good account, a good testimony? Would He be able to corroborate what you say you are before the Father? You see, at the end of the day, that is the one thing that will bring God true blessing and bring you true contentment. And so I pray that in the weeks that lie ahead, you will find ways to be truly alive, that you will live for Jesus Christ and not just be the living dead. Well, friends, it's been wonderful to be with you for this last half hour, and I pray that God will bless you in your family, that God will bless you in your work life, that God will bless you in your ministry and in the church. And I pray that God would give you great insight and courage, and that you would draw near to God through being disciplined and careful about your time and your choices and the content of what you allow into your mind. Well, you've been listening to Dr. Dion Foster, and this show is called The Ministry in Me, and I always look forward to hearing from you, so you're welcome if you'd like to drop me a line on email, and you can reach me at digitaldion@gmail.com, that's digitaldion @gmail.com, digitaldion@gmail.com. And if you'd like to contact the Radio Pulpit prayer line to have a prayer with someone, you can dial the Pretoria dialing code 012, and the number is 334-1200, 334-1200. Well, friends, thank you for tuning in, and know that I'm praying with you and for you. And remember that all of your life can be used as worship and ministry. God bless you, and goodbye.